You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder?
They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do, that's how you business differently.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during this podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Intuit QuickBooks or any of its cornerstone brands or employees. This podcast does not constitute financial, legal, or other professional advice or services. No assurance is given that the info is comprehensive, accurate, or free of errors, and the information presented is for general information purposes only. Intuit QuickBooks does not have any responsibility for updating or revising any information presented. Listeners should verify statements before relying on them. Hi, everyone. I'm Janice Torres.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz. Welcome to yet another episode of Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories, a podcast by iHeartRadio and Intuit QuickBooks. In each episode, Janice and I chat with small business owners as they share their stories about the ups and downs of owning a small business. Plus, we'll learn from their experience about how you can help fortify and strengthen your own business.
I'm so excited for our guest today, but Austin, I have a question for you first. How often are you working with other people? I have a team, but it's very small, and my little sister actually works with me, which is super cool. So I'm curious to know, what was your growth process like for building your own team?
Yeah. Oh, wow. You get to work with family. That's actually pretty fun. I didn't know that. So I quickly realized that I was not very good at being an operator, right? I am a creative. I can make the videos. I can tell the stories, but it's hard for me to sort of actually run and operate the back end of the business, the contracting, the invoicing, the day-to-days, right? So I needed to find an operator that could help me do that. And so weirdly enough, I actually found him on TikTok. He like DM'd me. We became friends, but his name's Christian Blackwell. He's an absolute rock star. He was doing pricing and profitability consulting at PwC and New York City before this. Like, the guy is top notch. And together we mesh really well in the sense that I can stay this creative and he can be the guy behind the scenes doing the invoicing, the emails, all the fun stuff that us creatives don't like to do, right? So that is how we got started working together. And then as it relates to scaling the business, in the beginning, it was a lot of like TikTok videos. That's how I really began to express myself. And I talked about personal finance and investing and all that fun stuff. But at the end of the day, TikTok became more and more competitive as it relates to editing your videos and having the cool sound effects and visual effects. And I'm not that. I do not know how to edit a video to save my life. However, I began to find people who did. And that's how I sort of began to say, okay, now we can grow a little bit. We have the desire to get the video editors. We have the need for the video editors. Let's hire them up. Let's get going. And the second part of this whole kind of equation is the social posting. So for me, a lot of that was finding someone, as I'm sure you know, it's a full-time job to even post these assets on social media. If it's the tweets, the Instagram stories, everything in between, right? However, the only thing that was important to me was that trust factor, right? They were going to log into my TikTok, my Instagram, my YouTube, my Twitter. And so I had to be able to trust them. And funny enough, it's my girlfriend and I definitely trust her. So all is well there.
I love that. That's so cool. That trust factor is major. And I think that's part of the reason why I have my sister and also my mom working with me now, which is really cool. It's like literally becoming a family business. But my first contract hire was actually one of my Instagram followers. So I was spending so much time creating content, posting content, and I just needed a VA or a virtual assistant to help me with that part of the business. That's the first thing that I decided to outsource. And I literally just made an Instagram post. Hey guys, I'm hiring for a VA. This is how much I can pay. This is how many hours. And I mean, the amount of applications that came in were nuts. And that's also another thing too. I didn't even really realize how you're supposed to like do a whole job board and job listing. And so that was all a work in progress, but it was really cool to find someone from my audience because they already understood the brand. They were already experiencing the brand. They already knew the aesthetic. And so it was really easy to onboard her and have her kind of be able to mimic my voice without me having to create content from like a micromanagement perspective. And then when I ended up hiring my little sister, she was recently laid off. She was making a career transition into social media management and marketing, and she's actually studying that in school. So I said, bam, I've hit the jackpot. My sister is super creative. She's a Virgo. She is the organization to my chaos, and we just complement each other so well. So she helps me look good while I am out here, like, you know, splattering paint on the walls. She's kind of gathering it together and putting it into a nice cohesive package. So I think this is the theme that we're going to dive into, plus so much more of just like finding the people who are going to help you grow and who are going to complement your skill sets. That's how you, you know, find success as a founder who is looking to outsource, right?
100%.
But enough about us. Let's go ahead and introduce our guest.
Kristin Nino de Guzman has worked for social media giants like Instagram, Pinterest, and TikTok, liaising with content creators since 2015. Her career in tech and social media has offered her some keen insights into the challenges content creators face when it comes to pay, particularly Latinx content creators and other content creators of color. As a creator herself, the 31-year-old from Los Angeles quit her job to focus on her new app, Claire for Creators, which is designed to help content creators address pay disparities and access the information they need to get fair pay from the brands they choose to work with. Kristin describes the app as Glassdoor or LinkedIn for creators, allowing creators to post about how much they've gotten paid and review brands anonymously. Others can then use this information to help decide if they should work with a particular brand or leverage it to request higher compensation. The app is specifically intended to help establish pay equity for content creators on all platforms. With Clara for Creators, Kristin hopes to change the world of professional content creation by putting creators first, compiling data that ultimately explores the disparity of race, gender, and ethnic demographics in an emerging market. Her app, Clara, now has 22,000 active users and surveys over 1,000 unique brands. Kristin, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So now I think before we jump into your company and your founder journey, our audience would appreciate learning more about your experience working with creators from Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest. So how did all of that start and how did this really form and come to formation?
Yeah. So originally when I first got my first role working with creators, I was working with more like traditional mommy bloggers, women like in the Midwest, fashion, food. And then I got a role at Pinterest and it was very like, same type of profile of creators. And then one day I discovered TikTok and I was just completely obsessed. And I was just really excited about the way that TikTok was transforming discoverability and allowing anyone with talent that was entertaining to be discovered. Didn't matter if, you know, they had fancy camera equipment or if they just were using their iPhone and in their car. I ended up getting a role there and was there during like the height of the pandemic over 2 years. And I also in that time became a content creator myself. So I firsthand was just seeing like how transformative TikTok was for people's careers, for people's lives to allow them to be able to start businesses. During that time, in my time working with creators, I just realized that there was a lot of issues around pay transparency and the ways that brands were working with creators. There's not really a platform out there that was allowing creators access to pay information like traditional salaried professionals had. And so I was super inspired and just like by a pain point that I was seeing in my day-to-day work to launch my own company.
So like many folks who start a small business, you were doing this on the side while working full time. And I'd love for you to give us some insight into what that actually looked like when you're like burning the midnight oil.
It was kind of like a really interesting time for me personally, because I had moved from San Francisco to LA to get this role at TikTok. And I kind of envisioned my life being super fun. I would be going to events. And then the reality is that COVID happened and I had moved to a new city and I was like alone in my apartment and no one was going out. And it gave me a lot of time. And this is also when I really tried to pursue this idea of building an app. So I would do my 9 to 5 and then at night I would work with my developer team to build the app. It was a really intense, like 6 months. I saw it as an opportunity to really pursue something that I normally probably wouldn't have made time for.
Okay. So you are running a business, you're creating content. That is difficult to do, just one of those aspects, but you're doing it at the same time. How do you juggle those responsibilities?
For me, the biggest thing that has really helped me prioritize my time and be more efficient in my day-to-day is outsourcing like things that I'm not good at. So initially when I started my entrepreneurial like journey and became a founder, I was trying to just do everything myself, even things I didn't understand how to do. And what I realized is I can outsource, pay someone to help me, and it will save me like 8 hours of my week. So I started doing that in small ways. I hired someone to help me with the TikTok presence of the account. I actually like use QuickBooks to help me with managing my invoices, tracking my expenses as a business owner, and like anything I can do, whether it's paying for an app, outsourcing like an intern or a coordinator, it really, really helps me focus on the things I really need to prioritize within my business that will make me a better founder and leader.
Can we unpack that a little bit more? Because I think there's a lot of people listening right now who might be tackling with the idea of, should I bring on help? Do I need to hire somebody? Do you have any key insights there as to where you made the decision, wait, I need to take a step back and I need to begin delegating work elsewhere?
It can be really time consuming to be creative, come up with new ideas, new content ideas for your business. Even spending time on apps like TikTok and trying to keep up with trends. And I think for me as a founder, like I just didn't feel like that was something I wanted to do. I was feeling like I'm on my phone all day. And to be honest, I also felt like I wanted someone who was just living and breathing that world. And I had a few creators reach out to me, like offering to help. Big creators, like, you know, 800,000, a million followers. And so I hired an intern named Joseph to help me with my TikTok content. And he brought so many innovative ideas and was really able to be my eyes and ears on social and help me understand what's trending, what creators are talking about, what pain points are happening. It was so valuable to bring him on to our team. And it really took so much of that like pressure of me constantly being on off of my plate.
You know, I think what happens for a lot of small business owners who are in this point where they know they need to outsource, they know they need to start optimizing in order to scale, they think automatically like, I got to hire people. But it's also important to think about systems, right? And what software and tools exist. So how did you identify what areas of your business you could implement software tools in order to make your life easier?
One of those tools was Canva. I think prior to Canva, I would have never been able to like run my own Instagram account for my business. There's so many different apps that help streamline like very tedious processes that you might have. There's apps for, you know, legal help. There's websites where you can download like templated contracts. My first mistake was I went out and hired a legal team and it was extremely expensive. I spent like $10,000 on contracts. And then another founder told me about a website. You paid like $40 a month and you had access to like all of these different amazing contracts and templates like NDAs. So sometimes as a new business owner, you don't really understand where to go for these resources. It's been incredibly important to have community and network with other founders because everyone is in the same boat and they're really willing to help.
Can you tell us a little bit about the thought process that you go through in order to decide what things you should outsource versus what things you should maintain control over?
Yeah, I think time management for me, that's like probably one of the biggest factors. If I feel like something is taking up my time or I'm not the best at it, then it's something that I want to try to outsource. For example, I would say areas of my business that I know nothing about, things like legal, things like accounting. I'm not going to pretend that I need to be that expert when I have so many other areas that I need to focus on. And I don't need to feel like I need to understand the basics of XYZ to be a successful founder.
And as a follow-up, so when you're hiring somebody, obviously one of the things you got to start thinking about is how you're going to pay them. I know I made the mistake of not thinking about that when I hired my first contractor. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, how do I actually give them money? And I was like, do I do Zelle? Do I do Venmo or something like that? So how did you start and implement your payroll process?
Yep, I was exactly like you. I started with Venmo and Zelle and it just didn't feel right. I'm like, something about this just didn't feel like I was keeping track of my expenses properly. But then I quickly realized like, look, as a business owner, you really do have to keep track of everything, you know, for tax breaks. And there are repercussions if you don't keep track of things. So discovering QuickBooks was super helpful because it really allowed me to like sleep at night, understanding that I'm keeping track of everything.
Coming up on Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories.
There's a big difference as a creator if you know, you just can't manage your inbox and you're having trouble responding to emails. And in that case, you might just need like an intern or an assistant. You might not need a management company.
We'll be right back after the break. You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists.
But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones that make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers.
They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they all have in common, it's making their money work harder.
That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield.
Yes, 5% APY.
Making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY.
Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn annual percentage yield. APY can change at any time.
Welcome back to Mind the Business, small business success stories brought to you by iHeartRadio and Intuit QuickBooks.
So, you know, thinking more about this idea of hiring contractors and kind of doing that part for the business, what was like the first part of your business that you began to outsource or hire contractors for? You mentioned the intern, you mentioned the legal stuff. Can you kind of walk us through as you begin to scale your business, you started realizing, wait, I need to do this. I need this next and this after that.
Yeah. So even starting back in the early days, I outsourced and worked with like an agency to help build my app. So I think that was the very beginning, like stages of hiring help. And then once I launched the business, I quickly realized that I needed help. I needed help with social, I needed help with content, I needed legal help. And so I have kind of gone through and hired a bunch of different types of contractors as things are needed. Like I've hired copywriters.
So having an agent or a talent manager, that's another form of outsourcing, right? Because now you're not having to be the one to negotiate these deals and review contracts. That was a decision that I made as a creator, maybe like 2 years into my journey, just because I felt like I wasn't no longer qualified to be reading all of these legal documents and understanding like what is exclusivity, what is whitelisting, all of these things. So how do you determine as a creator, like when it makes sense or if it makes sense to hire a talent manager or an agent?
Yeah, this is seen as sort of a North Star, or like I am successful because now I have a management company. And I think in reality, like you really have to protect yourself as a creator. There's a big difference as a creator if, you know, you just can't manage your inbox and you're having trouble responding to emails. And in that case, you might just need like an intern or an assistant. You might not need a management company. There are so many different ways to approach like having a management company. You know, you don't have to be exclusive with them. You don't have to let them have full control of your inbox. For me, when I did sign with the management company, I made sure a lawyer looked over my contract. So I was able to protect myself, my business, separate the two. It's really important as creators and as like freelancers that we really make sure that we're protecting ourselves and we don't just kind of get excited by the idea of having a manager because it doesn't necessarily mean we'll get more brand deals or make more money.
I totally agree. And as a content creator, I agree with everything you just said, right? But I kind of want to backtrack here to the idea of your company in the beginning and when you were finding that product market fit, right? When you were observing the pay disparities between different content creators, I'm curious around the research process. Were you interviewing creators, talking to agencies perhaps? How were you sort of doing your research and conducting research for your company in the early stages?
I had positions at Instagram, at Pinterest, and TikTok, and I was like the internal point of contact for creators. And as a result, I would be CC'd on deals with the biggest brands and creators, and having different creators that I represented, I would see like firsthand the disparities on email. It was never like malicious intent by the brands to pay creators different amounts. The issue was always just that like a lot of the creators didn't have access to resources. So the brands met the creator at their desired rate. And as a result, I was like, wow, I really wish this creator knew that this creator was getting paid 10 times as much. And I just felt like, you know, both the brands and the creators really needed access to that information to make it a more fruitful relationship. I was also seeing a lot of brands being canceled online because they like were paying creators less. And I just felt like it's such a new industry. And so I wanted to really help with that transparency on both the creator and the brand side to really help with the pay disparities.
So, Kristen, we all know that entrepreneurship can feel like you're juggling a million different things at the same time. So how do you manage your work-life balance? Is there even such a thing?
In terms of work-life balance, what I do think is great about being a business owner and like owning your own business is there is usually some sort of flexibility in terms of you're able to set your own schedule in a lot of ways. So for me, the typical day is I tend to take all of my meetings before like 11 a.m. Pacific. And then I literally the whole day will do errands. I'll go on a hike. I'll be away from my computer. And then around 5 p.m., 6 p.m., I'll come back and do all my work. I'm kind of a night owl. I'm awake at night. I feel more creative. And I feel like for me, that's been really, really helpful for like my mental health and for work-life balance. I'm able to see my family. I'm able to like exercise and do fun things, go to Trader Joe's when it's not super crowded, and also able to like maintain and feel good about me running my business.
I think that's the beauty of having your own business, right? It's the ability to build a career that also aligns with the lifestyle that you're looking for, and you're not set to a specific schedule. You know, the workday will never look the same twice. And that's both the beauty and the curse, but you got to figure out how to make it work, right?
Exactly.
So we know the history of your company, but what's next, right? What's next for Clara, and where can the people find you?
When I started off, it was like a lot of brands just wanted to work with creators based on their following and their reach. It was all about how many followers does creators have. And I think, of course, a lot of that still reigns true today. And that's always going to be something that brands care about is overall reach and engagement, impressions, and things like that. But what I have noticed, you know, in the past couple of years is it's more about hiring creators based off of skill set. And I think even like, I think you two are a great example of this. Brands want to hire creators as like voiceover actors, as podcast hosts, as, you know, creative directors. There's not really a platform that allows creators to be seen for all these different skills. Aside from being like a fashion creator, someone might also be a photographer or a model. And like, is there a platform that's capturing that? And so a lot of what I'm working on for Clara in the next year is really helping creators be seen for their skill set aside from just like audience and following. And then Clara for Creators is on TikTok and Instagram. My personal Instagram is just Kristen, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N.
Kristen, this has been an amazing conversation. I just want to thank you for all of the knowledge that you've been able to share with us about how to start outsourcing and thinking about delegating different tasks in your business, because it's something that I think most of us are going to have to confront at some point. And just knowing that it's a work in progress, you're going to get things right sometimes and you're not going to get them right all the time. It's just part of the journey. So thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Kristen. This was a blast.
Thanks for having me.
That was such an incredible conversation with Kristen. Janice, what stuck out to you the most in this conversation?
Well, it's hard to pick just one, but absolutely, I love how real she was about how we have to work our way towards putting in actual systems when we're thinking about outsourcing and scaling. I love the fact that we both related on the fact that we use Venmo and Zelle to pay our first contractors. So I don't feel so bad about it, because unless you come from a family of small business owners, you're not necessarily going to know what you should be doing and how to structure this stuff. So I just love how it's an evolutionary process for a lot of us, and we kind of figure out what not to do by doing that thing.
And some of us still fall victim to that, which is totally fine. It's totally fine. Build up those processes. You're going to get there eventually. I think for me, Janice, it was how self-aware she was by what she knew what she was good at and not good at, right? She talked about how she outsourced for the legal paperwork and the legal help there. She outsourced with building the app and the coding and the design, right? I think every small business owner listening right now needs to have that self-awareness to know, wait a second, I'm really good at marketing. I'm really good at accounting. I'm really good at sales, but I'm not good at insert thing here, right? And having that self-awareness really allows you to say, now it's time for me to delegate. Now it's time for me to find those processes and put those processes in place for my business so I can begin to take it to the next level, which is clearly what she's doing, right? One of the first things I realized I needed to delegate was my accounting. Before hiring an accountant, QuickBooks definitely was a lifesaver for me in terms of keeping record of my cash flow and being ready for tax season. Especially with QuickBooks Live Experts, I was able to ask more questions and get specific insights into things I wouldn't have normally thought of for my own business. Really excited to hear about the future of Clara and how she's sort of building this marketplace of sorts between companies looking for creators.
Yeah, I love the idea that folks are finally taking content creators seriously and actually realizing that this is a viable career and creating tools to help us make it sustainable too. You know, Kristen talked a lot about how her company helps creators, but I also see a lot of opportunities for small business owners as well. Thinking back to our marketing episode, we learned about the importance of social media marketing, but as a small business, I know, and you know, that it's hard to create this kind of content in-house. Having a platform like the Clara app makes it so much easier for small businesses to identify which creators best align with their brands so that they can actually go back to focusing on their day-to-day operations. I also appreciate that Kristen's business is built around content creators finding community with one another and not simply just trying to manage everything alone. Some of the best advice I've received has come from other business owners. And I think a big part of being a founder is learning how to learn from others in order to improve your own business.
Well, that's it for today's episode. You can find me on social media at Austin Hankwitz.
And you can find me at Yo Quiero Dinero Podcast.
And you can follow Intuit QuickBooks on all social media at QuickBooks to get the tools you need to start, run, and grow your business. Head to QuickBooks.com today.
Catch the next episode of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on Thursday, June 8th, where we speak to Kevin Wong, co-founder of Lunar Hard Seltzer, on how to build a quality team of employees.
You won't want to miss this one, so don't forget to follow, rate, and review this show wherever you listen to podcasts so you can stay up to date on our future episodes.
And check out our show notes for more information from this episode and founder dependence. And a huge thank you to our guest, Kristen Nino de Guzman.
This podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Intuit QuickBooks.
Our executive producer is Molly Socha. Our supervising producer is Nikia Swinton. And our writer is Tyree Rush.
Our head of post-production is James Foster, and we will see you next time.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder?
They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do, that's how you business differently.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.